You're listening to Meeting Pod, the podcast powered by Meeting Place, the premier magazine and news source for the meat and poultry processing industry, and Alt Meat Magazine, the only business information resource for the exploding alternative meat industry.
Welcome. I'm Chris Scott, host of Meeting Pod and contributing editor at Meeting Place and Alt Meat Magazines. We have not one but two special guests for today's episode, both of whom are Meeting Pod veterans. Dr. Casey Owens is a professor specializing in poultry processing and products at the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture and Dale Bumpers College of Agriculture, Food and Life Sciences. Her colleague, Dunyi Wang, is assistant professor of biological and agricultural engineering at the University of Arkansas System, Division of Agriculture. Our conversation will address such topics as new techniques to identify chicken meat quality defects like woody breast on the production line and advances in automated poultry processing research. We'll also discuss potential challenges in successfully implementing some of these new systems, including line speed requirements and the pace of research into these upcoming processing advances. I'm really looking forward to our discussion, Casey and Dunyi, and thank you for making time to be guests on Meeting Pod today.
Thank you, Chris, for having us. It's a pleasure to be back and look forward to our discussion today.
Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely. Casey, let's take a quick look at some of the topics we covered on your last visit and what's going on now. Woody breasts, green muscle disease, and spaghetti meat, all of which can reduce the quality of the final poultry product. Can you give our listeners a snapshot on advances in preventing some of these conditions since we last spoke?
So, Chris, yes, these conditions still really persist in the marketplace. So there's still meat quality issues. I feel like some of these issues like woody breast may have decreased in incidence a little bit over recent years. And some of that may be attributed to kind of the markets in terms of live weight that we're reaching a market and growth rate that we're taking to get there. And so sometimes those change just based on the demand and so forth. And in terms of technology in the plant, you know, we're still relying on quite a bit of manual labor, people in the plant to be doing checks and so forth. Although in terms of technological advances, we've tried to look at things that identify these aspects. So there, for example, are some NIR systems that have been in the marketplace to identify woody breast. And there's other ongoing research like hyperspectral imaging within even our university that Dongyi's been working on and other places as well. So Dongyi, do you want to mention anything within regard to hyperspectral imaging?
Yeah, so right now we're trying to utilize the hyperspectral imaging system to between two jobs. And the first one is to utilize the hyperspectral imaging to detect the woody breast. And the other one is that we utilize the similar imaging system to detect the foreign materials in the poultry product.
Sure. And, you know, to tag off on that, you know, spaghetti breast is something that we are also seeing more of these days. And that one's a little harder to detect, but kind of keep an eye on things and talking to industry and what their issues are. And they can do a pretty good job of sorting these things out in the plant. If they so choose, you know, they have to weigh their benefit of doing that depending on what their customers' needs are and so forth. So they can direct product into like a comminuted type of product rather than whole muscle if necessary. But we are still interested in looking at detection, things that could be quick and easy. Like a couple of years ago, I worked on developing some relationships between carcass image shapes, like breast region shapes, that's related to woody breast. And so that could be detected with imaging systems. So we have a patent on that, and we're discussing that with some companies to see if that could be implemented into some vision grading systems in the future. By doing that, it could potentially give us some information to communicate back to the live production sector so that we can get more information on what the factors are that really are playing into development of those meat quality issues that we see in the processing plant.
Now let's take a look at the academic side of your career at this point. You've outlined that the students at the University of Arkansas are being exposed to a lot of different avenues available within the meat processing industry. They're also being exposed to a lot of research advances in other related systems like food safety, on top of whatever their initial focus of study happened to be. Is this concept of exposure getting easier or more complicated as new protocols and concepts are being developed, even as these students are getting their academic footing?
So I think that, you know, we do try to involve students in our research, especially graduate students, because they're the ones kind of the boots on the ground doing a lot of the research itself in collaboration with us, obviously. But we also try to get undergraduates involved in that research so they can have a good snapshot of things that we're working on that would hopefully be implemented into industry or things that would be coming down the pike. Things can be rapidly changing in the industry. I think with getting students involved in research and ongoing activities within our departments and here at the university, that can at least give them that exposure and they can see those changes and be maybe expect those once they get out. The other thing in terms of their exposure to the industry is that many of our students are doing a lot more internships. Mm-hmm. And I applaud the industry for having those sorts of opportunities available, especially in our area. We have such a big poultry industry around us. And our students are really doing some really cool projects with industry. And I think that really works hand in hand with the education that they're getting here and the fundamental basics. And that can be applicable to the bio and ag engineering as well as poultry science and other fields too. So.
And those internship experiences can also either cement their focus on a particular angle of study, yes, or it can inspire them to go into different directions that might make them happier in career-wise.
Absolutely. It's one of the things I tell students early on when they're, you know, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, is that internships are all about learning. It's okay to learn that's not the area that you want to go in terms of like, oh, if you want to have a field like live production or processing, somebody may like, oh, I'm going to go processing. And then they really realize that, oh, I really do like live production or vice versa. And that's just one example. So yes, it's all about learning and what you like and what you don't like. And then you can really explore those careers, but it will still give you some really good basis of experience so that they understand all aspects of kind of the industry. So
absolutely. Now, Dong Yi, let's catch up a little bit more on what you and your research team at the Agricultural Experiment Station are up to these days. When we last spoke about a year ago, your team had won a $1 million grant to develop robotics and automated systems to handle such repetitive procedures like rehanging chickens on the line. Has there been some progress on that front, for example?
Yes, I can give some updates from our research group. Right now for that grant, we already developed a new 3D imaging system, and that can integrate with the artificial intelligence algorithms to better detect the chicken postures on the processing lines, which will be fed into the robotic system to better help the robotic system to handle the chicken products. And we also worked with several local OEMs and trying to build a small rehang table for our division of agriculture and my lab specifically. And we also collaborate with two collaborators, one from Purdue University, one from his mechanical engineering department, one professor there, trying to integrate the tactile sensing information into the chicken grasping task, which will improve the robotic handling accuracy for the chicken product.
And as I understand it, that some of your research is being done in collaboration with other academic institutions. And how is that going? And is this going to be part of this recent USDA-funded $5 million grant for the Center for Scalable and Intelligent Automation in Poultry Processing?
Yeah, so collaboration is very important for the academia. So we do have a two group of researchers and working on the two different projects. And the one you mentioned previously about that $1 million grant, we collaborate with the mechanical engineering department at the University of Arkansas and industry engineering from Purdue University. And for that $5 million grants we talked about earlier, that is, we collaborate with the Georgia Tech and the University of Nebraska.
Sounds like a very smart network. Let's take a quick break for a word from the sponsor of today's episode, Lindy.
Lindy is a proud sponsor of today's podcast. Lindy provides the food industry with liquid nitrogen and liquefied carbon dioxide gases, as well as cryogenic processing equipment under the Cryoline and AccuChill brands. Our gases provide precise temperature control in several areas on the processing floor. Cooling, chilling, and freezing of food products, whether they are raw, marinated, or cooked, helps maintain inherent product quality, moisture, taste, and appearance. Browse our dedicated food industry site at www.lindyfood.com. Now back to today's podcast.
And we're back with Casey Owens and Dongyi Wang from the University of Arkansas discussing advances in poultry processing research. We're looking at product quality, yield, and robotic systems that aim to improve all of these aspects on the processing line. Now, Casey, do you have any thoughts about the pace of technological advances such as artificial intelligence or new robotic systems? And do you think the industry is ready to adopt some of these new paradigms, even though several of them already are opening what they consider state-of-the-art processing facilities, seemingly even as these advances are being developed?
Sure. You know, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen within the industry over the next 10 to 20, 30 years. It'll be a really interesting time. I've been around the industry for 25 plus years now and have seen a lot of changes as well. And, you know, the industry is very automated, but we still use a lot of manual labor in the processing plants. And, you know, with COVID, we did see quite a bit of a challenge with labor issues. And so that's kind of brought about some of these changes. Also, the technology like artificial intelligence and robotics. You know, we've been using robotics in pack out systems like, you know, the packaged product in kind of a dry environment. But if you go to IPPE, the big trade show in Atlanta, you see a lot more robotics even being demonstrated out there in terms of packing product into packages. So like the fillets themselves into packages. And they're really some neat technology there because they can really be very accurate in the packaging weights and how they're packing in their presentation of that. That's just one example, but I think we'll see more of that in the future. Some of the challenges are likely going to be the environment itself, because sometimes it's cold and wet, and you know, how are robotics cleaned and how are they operating in those things. But just like Dongyi was talking about the rehanging project, you know, some of the things that we're doing in the other particular grant with Georgia Tech is leading is we're trying to look at those processes that are really repetitive, you know, loading a chicken onto a debone line or whatnot. How can something like that be automated in such a fashion that it can be useful and decrease the number of people actually needed on that line so they can be diverted into other areas? So a few state-of-the-art processing facilities opening, and I think that they're still within the industry looking into development of these technologies. So it's hard to say exactly what all they will be right now, but there's a lot coming down the line, I think, that we'll see a bunch of changes, you know, in the coming years.
And it's not just the equipment that will be changing, but you have to do worker training and make sure there's a certain education level among the workers. So this is going to be, I would suspect, fairly massive in scale in order to get this working as efficiently as possible and improve yield and improve profit, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. And we can't forget like the big data aspect. There's a lot of data that we can collect, you know, that's Absolutely. Where AI comes in and so forth. And so that can be used. The workers in the plant, operators or whatnot, could potentially use some of that in their respective work areas to make decisions or whatnot. And so there's going to be lots of opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, Dongyi, I don't want to get too much into specifics, but I want to get a sense from your perspective. These collaborations that you were talking about sound exciting. Do you think that they speed up the development of these options for processors down the road? Because there are more great minds thinking about these AI concepts and robotics concepts. Is that making it easier and faster to get these things to reality?
Yes, I definitely think that the more and more researchers realize the power of the artificial intelligence and robotics in this kind of traditional food industry. And I think it definitely promotes or accelerates speed for the technology development, because a lot of researchers or my collaborators, they are not poultry scientists. They are real robotics. Right. They're trying to find the real application and help the real world problem.
That's hopefully sure. That's where I see my role is looking at the big picture, because they are definitely the technology masters. So it does take a big team effort. And I think that also lends credibility to, you know, gaining grants, because you have to have funding to get these projects accomplished.
And the next step, of course, is getting these companies to listen and consider implementation for everyone's goal.
Sure. And we try to incorporate, you know, and really just have open communication with mm-hmm. industry to know what their needs are and support as we move through this.
Terrific. And finally, I want to give you both a chance to finish up our discussion with your perspectives on the more challenging concepts you might face in your work. Lack of research funding, for example, skepticism about the usefulness of new processing ideas, or even the potential costs or budget hurdles that could hold back implementation of new technologies. What are you each seeing these days, and what do you think might happen down the road?
So, you know, funding is always a big issue. I think that, you know, the $5 million grant that we got was a really great addition. I mean, I think it can be a big springboard for us later on. But some of that came about from some federal funds that were, I think, and I may be wrong in the technical explanation of all this, but came available from some funding for meat and poultry programs. And so it wasn't always a long-term planned funding ability. And so we just kind of were able to get in on that quickly and have a successful proposal. But funding is always a big issue. I think if we could better collaborate with industry, get that, you know, two-way street, either match funds or whatnot, that would be useful, because it does take those funds to fund the projects. I mean, fund people in the projects, fund graduate students. We're also training those graduate students to be able to be those future leaders out there in industry and technological areas and whatnot. So, Dong-Yi, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think that also the collaboration, we've already done this, but collaboration is definitely very important. This kind of interdisciplinary knowledge will definitely accelerate the real adoption for the new technology. And also training the interdisciplinary, you know, the graduate student and undergraduate students to jump into this field.
And again, it's about the exposure, which is sounds like it's exploding, which is great for everyone.
Yes,
my sincerest thanks to Dr. Casey Owens and Dong-Yi Wang from the University of Arkansas for their time and insights on technological advances in poultry processing. You're both welcome here anytime. Thanks also to our Meeting Pod episode sponsor, Lindy. And of course, thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. That's a wrap. Until next time.
Remember to tune in on Mondays to get the inside track on the people and the processes that drive the protein industry. Be sure to subscribe to Meeting Pod on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow Meeting Place and Alt Meat magazines on social media, and be sure to visit our websites at meetingplace.com and altmeat.net.